Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson for this day. The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 17, and I'm excerpting verse 16 and 19. The question of the agonized father first of all, and I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And the question of the disciples. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could not we cast it out? In Christ Jesus, our all-sufficient Savior and our heavenly King, dearly beloved, Raphael, the genius of the Renaissance, his final canvas, depicted the scene and the visualization that is before us textually this morning. Christ and the three favored disciples, Peter, James, and John, had just descended from the sublime experience of the Transfiguration. There, their saving faith had been strengthened. Peter had been a problem for Christ on this last journey to Jerusalem before his crucifixion, and he needed some strengthening, as well as James and John, who had desired positions at the right and left hand of the Lord when he came into his kingdom. They needed some corrective, and so the Transfiguration was their strengthening for the final ordeal when they would see and observe their Savior and their God crucified on the accursed tree for the sins of the world, and then that they could accept the joy and the release of the resurrection and the final commission as Christ ascended back to heaven and removed his physical presence from among them, that they should go out and win the world for Christ with the proclamation of the blessed gospel and the administration of the sacrament. So the word and sacrament ministry was a focal point for this preparation on the Mount of the Transfiguration. But now when they descended into the valley, with some degree of reluctance, they encountered a sad sight indeed. The remaining nine, for some strange reason or other, had been approached by a believing man and, as Luke tells us, his only son. And this son was grievously afflicted by epilepsy, seizures, and these seizures would be controlled by an evil spirit within him so that whenever he was close to fire or water, he would attempt suicide. And this was very disturbing to his father and to the lad, no doubt, and they sought some type of healing. The disciples were not only the bearers of saving faith as a precious gift of the Holy Spirit, they not only had in their possession the pearl of great price, but they also had an active faith and a commission. Christ had commanded them, and they had responded prior to this scene, and they had gone through the land of Palestine preaching Christ and healing. They had been healers, successful healers, and they came back all excited and said to the Lord, even the devils flee before us. Now, why did they fail in this setting? What is the problem that they encountered? We can only speculate. When their faith faltered in the face of this affliction and in the face of this challenge to drive out the evil spirit, they failed miserably. And as I say in speculation, possibly because they could function only in the presence of Christ or on a direct command and word from him. And they had perhaps used this perfunctorily or mechanistically, and it had not worked because it was not accompanied by their active living faith. As Saint Sinner's combination, the sinner had taken over, the doubt, the uneasiness, the confusion, the concern. Christ and their leaders had been gone for some time, and now they attempted a healing, and it ended tragically with no success. When faith falters, then, we have to examine ourselves to see what happened within me, that the blessing of God and the healing of God was somehow blocked out. And I'm sure this will be a matter of great concern for all of us in our ministries, in our pastoral relationships to our people. Right now in our class in pastoral counseling, we're discussing many of these facets. We could be easily led into other directions by asking about demon possession and what is the power of Satan and is it still abroad in similar forms and how can we deal with it pastorally. But that would be beside the point. What we're interested in this morning in terms of subjecting ourselves obediently to the will of God and opening ourselves for new arenas of service which involve also the healing process for God's people when they come to us in their trouble and distress. We need to know, what are the requirements? What are the reasons for success or failure spiritually? So when faith falters, as the disciples of old, when they came to Christ and privately asked, why could not we cast it out? Now we come to our Lord this morning in our hour of worship, and we become painfully aware of our own limitations, of our own faltering faith. How can we be agents of the Holy Spirit? How can we be spiritual healers, operating under the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and listening empathically, lovingly, caringly to the distresses which are attacking our people, to the inroads of Satan and the unclean spirits that somehow cause great uneasiness and confusion in a society with confused moral and ethical criteria, in a society which has become literally humanistic to the core and looks to man for the solution of man's problems. We must continue not only in saving faith, but in active faith, to look to Christ, to the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And so we become painfully aware of our limitations. It certainly was love that prompted that father to bring his son to the disciples. And their pastoral love was obviously responsive. They wanted to heal that young man. They wanted to listen and heed the request of that man. But not all our efforts in pastoral care and counseling are necessarily assured of success and healing as we would describe success and healing on our human level. Here we must submit every case that comes to our attention to the will of God. We must ask His blessing, His guidance, and His outcomes and goals to be our outcomes and goals. And this may mean that His answer to our requests and our efforts to be a healing catalyst in the life of a troubled Christian, He may answer no, or He may answer wait a while, develop patience. At any rate, as we review this anecdote from scriptures for our own growth in grace and for our own edification in our pastoral role, may we know that as we undertake healing, either in pastoral care or pastoral counseling, the outcomes must be left to God, and faith must undergird our participation in this kind of relational interaction. And for this purpose, we, like the disciples of old, are crowded to Christ. In each case, in every individual who comes to us in a troubled frame of mind, we must search for His way, for His will. And so we're crowded to Christ our Savior for comfort, for clarification, for strength, and for wisdom as we undertake this demanding, intimate, and self-denying, sacrificial kind of role in our pastoring of our God's people. In fact, saving faith, of course, as we know, is the highest gift of God, which Raphael depicted in beautiful form as he painted the visualization of the Transfiguration. There we, as the three disciples, see Christ in His ascended glorification, in His glorious state at the right hand of the Father. And we must know that all power is indeed given to Him in heaven and on earth. And we must tap into that power through our saving faith and through the conviction and the comfort that He will accompany our human and sinful efforts to be helpful to God's people when they come to us. Our highest privilege then is to preach the gospel, to proclaim the saving faith centered in Christ Jesus, and to share this pearl of great price with God's people, but then to offer to God's people also the comfort, the assurance of an active faith that all things indeed will work together for good to those who love God. And then, perchance on occasion, as we bend our efforts to be helpful catalysts for Christ's people here on earth, the empathy that we have learned in the classroom, the skills that we are polishing and burnishing within ourselves, the personality that we're striving to make as attractive and as empathic as possible, will all be used as agents of God's Holy Spirit to bring about the reduction of suffering and the enhancement of the fully, quote, self-actualized life in Christ. This we ask in His holy name, that we will be considered to be healing pastorally concerned individuals used by God's Holy Spirit to ease the suffering and pain of our generation. We ask this in His name. Amen.